I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go. Father
God, I am. From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Los Angeles, Apostle Joel Obobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Hallelujah. And we're going to take the gospel to them. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now, my message is, the title of my message is Steps to Being Born Again. Wow. Steps to Being Born Again. A lot of us do not evangelize or are not good witnesses because we do not really know how to lead people to Christ. And what exactly are you trying to communicate to the person? And what must be the crux of your message? You know, and you need to understand the salvation message and have it crystallized in your mind and practice its delivery, that in a very short time, you can say all the important things that need to be in a good message that can lead someone to salvation. Or at least, even if he doesn't get saved right there, you have given him the salvation pack. You see what I'm saying? That as he's going home, he has sufficient understanding that if the Holy Spirit was to minister to his heart, that he would understand the process that leads to salvation. Amen? Being born again is not the same as going to church. Inviting someone to your church is not the same as leading them to Christ. What you're doing when you invite someone to church is you're bringing them into an opportunity to be saved. But that itself does not constitute salvation. Hallelujah. That is why you must not just join a church without being saved. Do you see what I'm saying? You shouldn't just attend a church without making sure that you are saved. Because salvation, or being born again, which by the way is a Jesus term. It is Jesus who introduced the terminology being, he said, being born again. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So to be born again is not a kind of Christian term. You see what I'm saying? That a sect of Christians use. So sometimes people ask, are you one of those born again people? You know, it's not, born again is not a type of people. You see what I'm saying? It's not like, are you European, or are you black, or are you white? Born again is not like that. Jesus was trying to explain to a religious leader who didn't seem to get it. You see, he was trying to explain to the person that, you know, your access to me, or being a righteous person, or being good and all of that, do not eliminate your need to be born again. Because your need to be born again is not created by the absence of an education, or the absence of a good church to attend, or that you were not born into a Christian family. None of those things are the reason why you need to be born again. You need to be born again because of the condition of your soul. Hallelujah. Which is why Jesus had to take time to explain the person. So it is to the person, I mean. So it is Jesus who said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So never be ashamed to tell someone you need to be born again. Yeah, Jesus told the man, marvel not. He said, marvel not. I'm sure the guy was standing there. You see, so even the guy asked Jesus the question, how can a man be born again a second time? Can he enter into his mother's womb, you know, and be born? I mean, that shows you that the guy, you know, he was really dazed by what Jesus was saying. Do you understand? He was confused. And today people are still confused about being born again. There are many Nicodemuses all over the place who don't understand, you know, and they make rubbish of it. Because even to ask somebody that question, I mean, can you stand there, please? Pastor Charles, imagine that Pastor Charles is Jesus Christ, and then Paul is Nicodemus. right? Imagine like a grown-up man is asking this man, what's the question? That can you enter your mother's womb again? You see, it just so shows how silly the whole concept appeared to him. Do you see what I'm saying? But he just that he was humble enough to ask the silly question. Do you understand? Which most people are not. Most people do not have the humility to ask that silly question. They just like to assume that this is just silly. Just brush it aside. But Nicodemus thought, well, it sounds silly, but you can't brush this thing aside. The man is saying something. Do you see what I'm saying? So he said, can a man go a second time into his mother's womb to be born? And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. Then Jesus went further to explain and explain it. Hallelujah. So we must all understand what it means to be born again. Amen. Now I'm going to share with you just the first step. And then we'll close and continue the next time. Amen. Amen. So step one to being born again is to acknowledge that you are a sinner. To acknowledge that you are a sinner. Right? You must bring a person to a point of agreement that we or he is a sinner. Do you understand? Yeah. But just that, when you tell people that he is a sinner, the question occurs to him, what about you? You see the thing. So, all of us are sinners. Now, the verse for that is Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, where the scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can you see that? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, it is in this message, this point here, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is what establishes every human being's need for salvation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I know that sometimes people use different things we find in Christ to bait people into Christ. Do you understand? So sometimes people minister to people and say to them, come to Jesus and he'll make you rich, or he'll give you money. Or come to Jesus and you'll find a job. Or come to Jesus, you know. Now, what you will find is that the scripture says all have sinned. The reality is that the only thing that all human beings have in common is what? Sin. All have sinned. Because not all are poor. Do you understand? So if you preach a gospel that says, come to Jesus and he will make you rich, the problem with that gospel is that it eliminates and loses relevance to those who do not need money. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. If you even say, come to Jesus and he will heal your body, that is true. Jesus heals. But if that becomes the gateway to salvation, then that limits salvation only to those who are sick. Are you getting what I'm saying? You say, come to Jesus and he'll give you a husband. Now look at me, I'm already married. So what about me? Do you follow what I'm saying? Yeah? What about me? We don't all have the same problems. So the problem with the gospel that is targeted to people's individual issues and problems, you see, it's not that it's not true, but the gospel then at that point loses a certain universal relevance. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It loses a certain universal relevance because that is not for everybody. Sometimes you find people telling us, you black people, you are poor, that is why you want to serve God. Yeah, and you don't blame the person for thinking so. Because if you make the message of Christ, do you understand? If you make that into something that is just for poor people, that he will give you food, then it means if I have food on my table, I don't need him. What do you think? Yeah, if I have food on my table, I don't need Christ. If I have a job, then I don't need Christ. If I have, but you know, Jesus didn't die to give people jobs. No. You can find a job in Christ. Do you understand? You can find a job in Christ. You can find wealth and blessing in Christ. You can find healing in Christ. You can find a husband in Christ. You can find a wife in Christ. You can find all these things in Christ, but they are not the reason why Jesus died. Hallelujah. They are not the reason. What we all have in common is what the scripture is saying right here. For all have sinned. Isn't it? All have sinned. All have sinned. For all have sinned. Yeah. Come to Jesus and he will deliver you from dwarfs. That is true. But not all are being chased by dwarfs. You understand? I'm not aware of any dwarfs that are after me. But if they are by any chance, they are rebuked in the name of Jesus. Not all are being chased by dwarfs. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Not all even believe that dwarfs can change them or chase them. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So that cannot be. What we have in common is all of us have sinned and all of us have fallen short of the glory or the beauty of the Lord. And that is true. That is a fact. That all human beings have fallen short of the beauty of the Lord. You know what the Bible says? That we were made in his image, after his likeness. But if you look at mankind today, we don't look anything like the image of God. If the way human beings look today, by the way we act and behave, if that is the image of God, then it is no wonder that the people will not want to be like God. Because if that is how God is, then that's a problem. That's why people even ask, if there's a God, why are all these problems and why do people do all these things? Because somehow people cannot see the difference God makes. But the problem is that all of us have sinned. And the sin has caused us to fall short of the glory. To fall short means that we are operating at a less and a lower level than God intended for it to be. Hallelujah. That God created us in his image. And God created us in his image for a reason. You understand? God created us and made us to look like him. You know? So when people have babies and you tell them your child looks like you, they begin to smile in a special way. Because it's a compliment. That something you made actually looks like you. Do you understand? See, when you tell Pastor Charles his baby looks like him, he smiles just broadly. You just see that. You say, Senna really looks like you. You get it? That's because it feels good. God made us to continuously reflect his glory. He wanted us to look like him. Do you understand? That is why our sinful state is a problem. Our sinful state is a problem because we cannot represent God's glory properly. Hallelujah. So this is what a person needs to understand first on their way to being born again. They have to understand that it's not about money. I'm not preaching to you because you don't have money. I'm not preaching to you because you don't have food to eat. I'm not preaching to you because you don't have a wife. I'm not preaching to you because you're afraid of dwarfs. I'm not preaching to you because you're afraid of demons and evil spirits. That's not the purpose of salvation. It is a blessing within salvation, but it's not the reason why. It's not big enough to justify the price of salvation. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not big. It's like you went to a shop and you bought a shoe because of the lace. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, you know, the shoelace, like this guy here, right? That I would go to a store and pay maybe $100 for a pair of shoes because I want the lace. And if you ask me, why did you buy it? Oh, you know, it's just the lace. I want the lace. When you buy the pair of shoes, you get to have the lace. That is true. But you can't go to the shop to buy the shoe because of the lace. You can't do that. Do you see what I'm saying? So we need to change the way we present Christ. Do you understand? A human being has a problem. He has fallen short of the glory of God. Look at the things we do. Human beings just killing other human beings for nothing, you know, just for no reason. I mean, it's even animals, when they kill other animals, it's for a reason. They want to eat or something like that. We kill other human beings not to eat them. Do you see what I'm saying? We don't kill other human beings because we're looking for lunch. We just kill other human beings just for, because of hatred in us, insensitivity in us, wickedness in us. So many evil things that plague humanity. You must believe that there's something wrong. Something that has caused us to sink below the level of even animals. We need salvation. All have sinned. This one condition applies to all humanity. Yeah. Everywhere in the world, people are doing evil. They don't have to. That's why there's a prison in every country. Have you thought about that? Yeah. It's not everything you find in every country, but a prison, a place to keep bad people, every country has it. Yeah. Because our nature is to do bad things. Our nature is to do, it's a human thing. You understand? Once you collect a group of human beings and you start to create a country. The other day there was something on the news. A certain man has gone to an island and he says he's creating a country. You Google it, the smallest country in the world, it has 35 people in it. He said he's making a country. So in the meantime, he is the founder and president of the country. And he's also the police and he's also everything in it. And then he has up to 35 people are living in that place. Yeah, this is supposed to be the smallest country. Yeah, with the smallest population. You know, he said he's creating it. Well, I have news for him. The next thing he's going to need is a prison. Because as soon as you start to gather people together, our true nature will start coming out. And you will know who we really are. Hallelujah. So all are not poor. All do not need husbands. All are not looking for jobs. All are not trying to find food. But all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And for that reason, all need the solution to sin. Sin, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So that is point number one. And that is the end of my sermon today. And we'll continue next Sunday when we come. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the Bible says Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus didn't die for a part of the world. When you look at the problems in the world, you see that the world doesn't have the same problems everywhere. That is why if you make Jesus a savior from problems, then you start to restrict the gospel and reduce its global relevance. But when you start to present him as a savior from the thing that we have in common, a savior who saves us from our sins, then suddenly, no matter where people live, no matter who they are, where they come from, Jesus has relevance to them. Hallelujah. Pray right now and pray. Pray for your relatives and friends. Even your boss. You see, your boss looks like someone who doesn't need anything. Because it looks like he has money, can give you a job, but he still has a need. He still needs salvation. He still needs to be saved. There is no substitute for salvation except salvation itself. So pray and say, Lord, help me to be an agent of salvation to as many people as possible in my lifetime. In my lifetime. In my lifetime. In my lifetime. He takes away the sins of the world. That means the whole world has sins. The whole world doesn't have problems, certain problems. But the whole world definitely has sins. And sin manifests itself in different ways, in different places. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. Make us agents of salvation. Bring salvation to people through us. Our feeble efforts, our little efforts, every small thing that we try to do, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that it would lead to the salvation of people. When we go out to sing, when we go out to preach the word, when we go out to pray for people, when we invite people to church, we pray, Lord, that you will anoint these efforts and help us, Lord. Let these efforts yield fruit that will bring salvation to the Lord in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Now, with every eye closed, maybe you're here this afternoon, you want to give your life to Christ, or you want to rededicate your life to Christ. Maybe you understand that indeed all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. If all have sinned, if all have sinned, it's like all have worked, then the next thing that all are going to have is to experience the wages of sin. But you can extract yourself out of that group so that you don't inherit the wages of sin, even though you have sinned. By standing aside and applying the solution to sin to your life and saying, Jesus, I understand that you are the solution to my sin, that you will wash me and cleanse me by your blood. Or you want to rededicate your life to Christ this afternoon and be sure that you're actually standing in the right place. That if you were to die today, you will not be guilty of the wages of sin. That your sin's wages will not continue to be tagged onto you. That God will see the blood of Jesus that has atoned and paid for your sins and exclude you from those who are going to have to pay for their sins or inherit the wages of their sin. That is why I'm offering you this opportunity this afternoon. You want to give your life to Jesus, or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, this is the afternoon for you. Just lift up your right hand while every eye is closed, and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that today who wants to rededicate your life to God? Bless you. Just keep your hand up. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We're talking about what we all have in common. That is sin. And what we all shall inherit in common, that is the wages of sin. But Jesus provides an exclusion, and he provides a way to exempt yourself from inheriting the wages of sin. Just raise up your right hand. I'll see it and I'll pray with you. Now, with your hand up, let us just pray together. Everybody join us as we say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, I understand that you died to pay for my sins. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I am part of all. All have sinned and fallen short of your glory. And I'm one of them. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. Let your blood wash me white as snow from my sins. I know I cannot save myself. I know I cannot help myself. So Jesus, please help me. Deliver my soul from sin and help me to live for you. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. How many can explain this to someone? How many can explain to someone who is rich why they still need to be saved? How many can explain to someone who is educated why they still need to be saved? Hallelujah. Someone who seems to have everything, they still need to be saved. Hallelujah. Because salvation is not for people who don't have things. Salvation is for everyone, because everyone has sinned.